Okay, we'll get started in just a minute. Hi, Elliot. Okay, so we're going to get started on our next topic in the sitter. The next section in the sitter is the Oz Yashir. Shir HaSayam, the song that was sung at the sea when Bnei Yisrael was crossing the Yam Suf. So, we have a number of questions to ask. First, we know the source. So we know the source is from the Chumash. This is the first of the davening that is actually from the Chumash, which is interesting, and its placement in Pesukei Dezimra is something that we have to discuss. Why exactly is it here? But the first question is, how did the Oz Yashir, the Shir HaSayam, make it into the Siddur? So we did mention that the Torah writes that it was a Gaonic introduction. It was a Takanas Gaonim. We mentioned last week that the Rokeach quotes a Rabbi Moshe ben Rabbi Klonimus, that when he moved from Italy to Magenza, so he brought the custom of reciting Oz Yashir with him during davening. So that was part of the liturgy in the Gaonic times. In fact, the Machzor Vitri, interestingly enough, writes that the Sephardic custom to recite Oz Yashir every day began by the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. He wrote, his words are, it began with Galus Yerushalayim. When they left Yerushalayim, that's when they began to recite Shir HaSayam. So second Beis HaMikdash, that's pretty old custom. The issue then we have to ask ourselves is, hey, how often is Shir HaSayam recited? We know that we recite Shir HaSayam every day. Every morning during davening, we recite Shir HaSayam. And that comes from the Tur, who includes this in the section of his davening for the weekdays. And the truth is that Rav Sadia Gaon says the same thing, that we recite the Oz Yashir every day. However, it's interesting that Rav Amram Gaon, in some of the sources of Rav Amram Gaon, it seems that Rav Amram Gaon only recited Oz Yashir on Shabbos. Perhaps there's a connection between the Chumash and Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim within there and Shabbos. So it's a unique time to recite the Oz Yashir on Shabbos specifically. And perhaps that's what Rav Amram Gaon was focusing on when he wrote that the custom is to only say the Shir HaSayam on Shabbos. It would shave off a couple minutes from davening, I guess, for the weekdays. But nevertheless, the custom, our custom, is to recite the Shir HaSayam every single day. The question is, at what point of the davening, where is it supposed to be recited? So we know what our custom is. Our custom is to recite the Shir HaSayam before Yishtabach. And as we discussed last week, it sort of flows nicely because we had Vayivarech David. The parsha, the section of Vayivarech David was already there, set up as a connection to the Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen, more brachos, focusing on tzedakah, on giving towards the base, towards the Mishkan, or sorry, towards the Beis HaMikdash. That was, and therefore David gave a bracha to the tzibur, and then we added on these psukim from Nehemiah. The psukim from Nehemiah, well, Atahu or Vivarachu Shem, depending on your Ashkenazi or Sephardi, it ends with the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yamsuf Bakata. So we had that transition from Nehemiah, which stopped at Kriyas Yamsuf when the Levim were singing the Shiros, and in the Siddur they stop it at the Shiros Levim, and then we go right into, in the middle of the Shiros Levim, and we go right into Oz Yashir, which is connected to Kriyas Yamsuf. So that makes a lot of sense. But the truth is that those who didn't recite the Pesukim in Nehemiah, we mentioned last week that not everyone had the tradition, the custom to recite those psukim in Nehemiah. They just had Vayivarech David, just those psukim from Divrei Hayamim, and that was it. Well, then why would Oz Yashir need to be before Yishtabach? Why would that be the right place? So it's a little unclear. The truth is, in fact, that Rav Sadia Gaon and Rav Natrunoi Gaon all have the custom, or had the custom, to recite Shiras Hayam as Yashir after Yishtabach. Which again, there's no reason for it to be in the middle of Psuki de Zimra when that bridge is gone. It doesn't have to be there. Let it be after Psuki de Zimra. And the truth is, as we mentioned before, it's the first and only pasuk from the Chumash, not Tanakh, but from the Chumash. So perhaps that section of Psuki de Zimra is not focusing on Chumash. Let the Chumash be after Psuki de Zimra. I don't see any reason why not. And the truth is, in Birchos Kriyashma, we have Shema, which is ready from the Chumash. So now it makes sense to place Az Yashir afterwards in the section of Birchos Kriyashma, because you have different sections from the Torah. And interestingly enough, if you look at the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah, in Perek Zayin, he says that Yesh Mekomos Shenogu Behen Likros Bechol Yom Achar Shemevarchen Yishtabach Shiras Hayam. That there are places that have the custom that after Yishtabach, they say Shiras Hayam, they say Az Yashir. And then they make a bracha and do Birchos Kriyashma. Makes sense. So it's almost like in the middle. There's Psuki de Zimra, begins with a bracha, ends with a bracha. You have Ashri in the middle. And then you have like this random section on all on its own called Shiras Hayam. And then you go into Birchos Kriyashma. So that would be the custom. There is another idea that I forgot where I saw this, which is that the perhaps Az Yashir, since we're being Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim, we're remembering Allah Niflos, the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Niflos HaBore, it makes sense then to begin it with a bracha and complete it with a bracha, and therefore it should be placed in between Psukei HaZimra. So that is part of the dispute, what is the appropriate place? But many of the Rishonim, the Gaonim, argue that we should recite Az Yashir after Psukei HaZimra. But nevertheless, our custom is to have it within Psukei HaZimra. So that's something to keep in mind, again, how these things all end up fitting in. We know what our custom is, but how it got there and why it got there and the differences of opinions are somewhat fascinating. Now the question we have to ask ourselves is, why exactly was Shiras Hayam added into the davening? We know how it was added, we know where it's added, or the machlokas behind the traditions, where it should be added, but why was it added into our tefillah every single day? So the Machzor Vitri, this is where I saw it, the Machzor Vitri writes that we're giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being able to save us from our enemies or defeat our enemies, and as a result, we place it in Psukei de Zimra, which begins with a bracha and ends with a bracha. What greater place to bless God placed in between the story of the Shiras Hayam, of the Az Yashir that we recite every single morning. We did have this idea that the Az Yashir and Vayivarach David, I mentioned this last week, have 15 forms of Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connected to the 15 expressions of praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu found in Yishtabach as well. So that's another connection between Az Yashir and Vayivarach David, connected to Yishtabach, so maybe that should be part of it. But there is something really interesting with regards to the Az Yashir, which is quoted by the Beis Yosef in his commentary on the Torah. The Beis Yosef quotes the Orchos Chaim, this is also mentioned by the Kolbo, another one of the Rishonim, who suggests that the reason why Shiras Hayam was added to the davening is because the Shiras Hayam is connected to the 72-letter name of God. Now, we've all heard this before about the 72-letter name of God. Nobody knows it. What is this all about? So, before we get there, let's understand what he's talking about. What does the 72-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do with the Az Yashir? We don't see a 72-letter name of God in the Az Yashir. So says the Beis Yosef, you're right, we don't. According to Orchos Chaim, what he says is that the four-letter name of God, Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, is mentioned 18 times in the Parsha of Az Yashir. Now, if you look at the Az Yashir in our text, it's not mentioned 18 times. It's mentioned more than 18 times, but we'll explain that in a moment. But says the Orchos Chaim, if you look at a significant section of the Az Yashir in the Chumash, beginning not with Az Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael, but beginning with Vayhi Bashmoras HaBoker, talking about the beginning part of Kriyas Yamsuf until, perhaps, till you get to Kivas Husparo. There you have 18 times that the four-letter name of God is mentioned. And 18 times by the four-letter name, you get 72. So therefore, says the Beis Yosef, quoting the Orchos Chaim, there's an allusion to the 72-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Az Yashir, and therefore it's important for us to recite it every single day since it has that connection. Interestingly, as I mentioned, we don't recite all those psukim. We don't begin from Vayhi Bashmaras HaBoker, we begin from Az Yashir. But if we begin from Az Yashir, we're actually losing out on four mentions of God's name. Well, we have to make up for those four then. What happens? So that's what the commentaries point out. We add on four psukim at the end of the Az Yashir. So if you look, if you have a sitter in front of you, you'll note that, and we'll discuss this in more detail in a little bit, the Az Yashir, the Shiras Hayam, actually ends off with Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed. Maybe it ends off with Kivas Paro. It's all the same. Well, it's the last pasuk. But then we have other psukim. Kila Hashem HaMelucha U'Mashel Bagoyim. That is not from Az Yashir. That's a pasuk in Tehillim. V'olam Moshim Haratzion Lishpodetz Haresav is a pasuk from Ovadia. Then we have V'Haya Hashem L'melcha Kol Ha'aretz. That's a pasuk from Zechariah. That's thrown into the middle of our Az Yashir. And then we even have another pasuk, which we also need to discuss, which says, "Uvesoras ha'kasuv lemor Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad," at the end. So you have an additional four psukim in order to have with God's name in order to get that 18. That's the idea from the Beis Yosef quoting the Orchos Chaim. But now, for a moment, before we deal with those last additional psukim, let's focus on the 72-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a medrash that states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham that Bnei Yisrael would be redeemed from slavery with the 72-letter name of Hashem. Now, the Zohar finds an allusion to this in, not the Az Yashir, but in the psukim leading up to the Az Yashir. So if we, I'm going to try to find it in my, on my computer. So in Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Yud Tes, we have the Az Yashir begins in Perek Tes Vav. So if we begin with Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Yud Tes, it has the following psukim. Vayisa Malach HaElokim HaHolich Lifnei Machane Yisrael, Vayelech me'achareihem, vayisa amud ha'anan mipneihem, vayamor me'achareihem. Vayavo bein machane Mitzrayim, ubein machane Yisrael, vayihi ha'anan v'achoshech, vayyores ha'loyla, v'lo karav zel ze kol ha'loyla, vayet Moshe es yado al hayom, vayol Hashem es hayom beruach kadim aza kol ha'loyla, vayasem es hayom l'charava, vayibaku ha'mayim. Says the Zohar, if you look at that, those three psukim really carefully, and you take the time to count each letter in each of those psukim, you'll find something fascinating. You'll find that each pasuk contains 72 letters. And the allusion to that medrash where God says to Avram, I'm going to redeem you with the 72-letter name of God, it's found, the allusion to it is found in those psukim right before we get to Az Yashir, right as he's making, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making the wind blow to make that miracle to split the sea, we have an allusion in the psukim themselves to the 72-letter name of God. It's pretty, math that well in probabilities and statistics, but to have three psukim in a row with 72 letters, that sounds like an anomaly, but I'm not sure. But nevertheless, that is what the Zohar writes. There's the allusion to the 72-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it makes sense for us in the Az Yashir, when we're saying it in davening every morning, to have 18 expressions, or to mention God's name 18 times, his four-letter name 18 times, in order to get to that number of 72, always remembering that it was the name, that special name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that redeemed us from Mitzrayim and helped us cross the Yam Suf. I looked online. There is some Kabbalistic, like a box with all the different letters from these three psukim. I don't know exactly how it works and how it all fits, but if you look online, you can. They say if you look at it, you get some brachas or something like that. So if that's your thing, go for it. If not, you can still go online and check it out. So, to continue on this discussion of Az Yashir and some things that we alluded to already just a couple minutes ago, is the question is, how much of this Shiras Hayam is recited? We know that we begin with Az Yashir. That is the Shir, Shiras Hayam, Az Yashir Moshe, then Moshe and Bnei Israel sang. So how much do we recite from Shiras Hayam in our davening every morning? Well, the answer is that there was an original custom, and now the custom has changed. The original custom appears to be that we ended off the Shiras Hayam with the words, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed. That was the end of Shiras Hayam. In fact, to prove that that would be the case, is that we actually repeat the pasuk of Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed. Why are we repeating the pasuk of Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed? It's similar to the Hallelukas when we say Kol HaNashama T'Hallel Ka twice, because to indicate that this is the end of a section. So it seems pretty clear that Shiras Hayam actually ended at Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed. The truth is that Rav Saad Yagon, when he had his custom to recite Az Yashir every single day, he recited almost the entire chapter of Perek Tesvav. He ended off with Kol HaMachla Asher Samti B'Mitzrayim Lo Asim Alecha Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha. That's where he ended his daily recitation of Az Yashir. So he had in his Az Yashir not just the song that Moshe and Bnei Yisrael sang, but the song that Miriam sang. See, the Rav Saad Yagon was a big liberal. Maybe he was an egalitarian. Maybe people should, those who are from the egalitarian bent, maybe want to take on Rav Saad Yagon's approach to recite the entire section so you can include Miriam's song in our daily davening as well. Just a thought. In practice, we have one pasuk which we add on to the Az Yashir, to the song, which is Ki Vasus Paro, Berichbo Ubefarashav Bayam, Vayoshev Hashem Aleyem Esmei Hayam, Uvnei Yisrael Hochu Bayabasha, Besoch Hayam. Now, when I say we add it on, I'm being somewhat facetious in the sense that the pasuk in Az Yashir, after Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed in the Az Yashir, is Ki Vasus Paro. But it appears that this was a later addition into our davening as part of Shiras Hayam. In fact, the Magen Avraham, when the Shulchan Aruch discusses Az Yashir, the Magen Avraham writes, Tov Lomar, it's a good idea to say Ki Vasus Paro. Where exactly is this from? Why is he saying this? The truth is he gets this from the Arizal. Where the Arizal writes to add in Kiva Sus Paro, because in his opinion, says the Arizal, Kiva Sus Paro is actually part of the Shira. It is part of the song, not how we understand it, that Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed is the end. Rather, the next pasuk is the end. Why would that be? Well, perhaps that's based on a fundamental or fascinating machlokas between the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban in Chumash. The Ibn Ezra also argues that Ki Vasus Paro is the end of the song. How is that so? Because the end of the song focuses on the fact that there was a nes besoch nes, a miracle within a miracle that took place at the Yam Suf, which is that as Bnei Yisrael were crossing, at the same time as the sea was opening, the Mitzrim went in and the sea was causing them, was drowning them. So it was a miracle within a miracle, a nes besoch nes, and says the Ibn Ezra, this is part of the song. The Ramban argues and says this is not part of the song. The song ends with Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed. So based on this idea, the Arizal says, we add on Ki Vasus Paro, it's actually part of the song. The Vilna Gaon argues and says we should not add in Ki Vasus Paro. Not necessarily because he maintains that it's not part of the Shira, but just that that's not the custom in davening to add in this pasuk of Ki Vasus Paro. So he would end it off with Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed in terms of the actual text of the Az Yashir. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that we repeat Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed. The Abu Draham, as I mentioned before, says that it's similar to Kol HaNashama Talalka, that this indicates the end of a section. So Kol HaNashama Talalka Halleluka, we said twice, this is the end of the section of the Hallelukas. We transition to Baruch Hashem Le'olam. We go from the Hallelukas to the Baruchs. And now we're in a new section. Now we get to the Az Yashir, Hashem Yimlach Le'olam Vod, Hashem Yimlach Le'olam Vod. We finish with the Psukei Dezimra of section, and now we're going to come to the Yishtabach to make that final bracha. Of course, we have a few more psukim that have been added on afterwards, but that's the idea. That's why the Rama quotes this Abu Draham, that we repeat Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed. However, the Beis Yosef says, you know what, maybe it's not a good idea to say Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed twice. Similar to the same argument that was made with regards to Kol HaNashama Tehalaka Halaluka, which is as follows. When you say Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed and repeat again Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, maybe you're talking to two gods. This god should rule forever and this god should rule forever. How do we know which god we're referring to? Therefore, says the Beis Yosef, it's better to recite Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed once in Hebrew and then repeat it a second time in Aramaic. Hashem Malchusei Le'olam Olam Me'olmaya. If we do it one in the Targum and one in the Hebrew, we avoid the problem of thinking that there are two gods. So that was the Beis Yosef's approach. In fact, the truth is the Beis Yosef says, you know, in truth, the Beis Yosef writes, it's better not to repeat it at all, even in the Targum. Why? Because he's so focused on making sure we only say Hashem's name 18 times in the Az Yashir. So if you look at the Az Yashir we have, We end up, if you take out the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad from the discussion, which again we'll get back to as well, if we take that out, we end up with 20 times we're mentioning God's name. So if we take out the repeating Hashem Yimloch and the Targum of Hashem Yimloch, we're at 18. So the Beis Yosef says better to not repeat it, not say it in the Targum as well, so you stick to the 18. He's married to that 18 idea of connecting it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's 72-letter name, that allusion to the 72-letter name. The Mishnah Berurah, however, so again, we have an opinion which says, we say Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed twice in Hebrew. That's the Vudraham. The Beis Yosef quotes an opinion to say it once in Hebrew and once in the Aramaic, but then he says it's better to not even say it in the Aramaic and not to repeat it, just say it one time. And then there's the Arizal. The Arizal comes back and says, no, we're actually required to say the Pasuk of Hashem, Yimloch Le'olam Voed, Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum. We will say it twice in Hebrew and in the Targum. And that is our custom. We follow the Arizal. So we end up getting 20, we mentioned God's name 20 times instead of 18. But we, following this idea of the Arizal, that we have to do Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum. I don't know necessarily the significance of saying it Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum, but that is what the Arizal advocates, and that became our minhag. Again, losing that clean section of 18 expressions or mentioning God's name 18 times. Okay, so yeah, now we're not going to have time to go through the psukim. That'll take a lot of time. There's a lot to reflect upon. We're just trying to understand the tefillah and the different aspects of the tefillah and how it all fits together in the section and where it comes from, why it's here, and then looking at the psukim that are not necessarily connected, but they are nonetheless. So, the area where we have to spend much of our time focusing on, or a good amount of time focusing on, are the last four psukim. So I mentioned again, we have Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed. Our custom is to repeat it once in Hebrew and once in Targum. And then we add on Kivasus Paro, which is also part of the Az Yashir in the Chumash, but Machlokas, whether it was supposed to be part of the Tefillah, daily Tefillah or not, it appears that it was not originally supposed to be part of the Tefillah, but it was added on again based on the Arizal. So we have these two sections in a row connected to the Arizal. And then we have an additional three or four psukim, depending on your minhag. We have Ki Lashem HaMelucha, Va'alu Moshiyin, V'haya Hashem L'melech, and U'b'sarascha Kasuv Lemor, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So, These psukim are clearly not from Chumash. These are taken from Navi or from the Ksuvim. Ki Lashem HaMelucha is actually from Tehillim. Ki Lashem HaMelucha Moshel Bagoyim. The essence of the pasuk is the establishment of God's future kingdom. Ki Lashem HaMelucha Moshel Bagoyim. God is going to be the Melech. That is, we are establishing His Malchus. So it's appropriate to be connected to the Az Yashir, which the focus is on all the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. So that fits nicely. The Va'olu Moshiim Bahar Tzion Lishpodes Har Esav is a pasuk from Ovadia, where there we're judging against the other nations. The other nations are going to be judged for their mistreatment of the Jewish people. Va'olu Moshiim Bahar Tzion Lishpodes Har Esav. The Har Esav are going to be judged. Again, connected to the Az Yashir, look at the treatment we went through in Mitzrayim, that subjugation, that enslavement. So there in the future, we're going to, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moshe and Bahar Tzion, when we'll be in Zion, we're going to have this judgment against Esav. V'haya Hashem Lamelech is a pasuk in Zechariah. Lamelech al kol haaretz, a recognition of God's majesty and authority all over the world. V'yom hu ya Hashem echad ushmu echad. That is, so there you have these three psukim were clearly connected to Az Yashir, and they're there to support the Az Yashir, but were all later additions. Why? Perhaps to get to the 18 expressions of God's, of not 18 expressions, the 18 mentions of God's four-letter name, which ended up becoming 20, or maybe even 22 from this last pasuk. So the fourth pasuk is Ubisarascha Kasuv Lemor Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Now in this siddur that I'm using, it has it in brackets. Ubisarascha Kasuv Lemor is in brackets. In the RCA siddur, yeah, it also has it in brackets. Ubisarascha Kasuv Lemor. So what is this all about? Why is it in brackets? Why is it here? And are we supposed to say it or not? If it's in parentheses, then maybe we're not supposed to be saying it. So the truth is that the Yabet, Rav Yaakov Emden, writes in his Siddur that it is important to recite this pasuk, Ubesoras HaKasuv Lemor, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And my favorite Maharam Shik quotes from the Chasam Sofer that it's also appropriate to recite Ubesoras HaKasuv Lemor, Shema Yisrael at the end of Az Yashir, right before Yishtabach. And they add on, essentially, that why? What makes it so important to have it here? So what they say is as follows. The Yabet says it a little bit clearer than Maram Shik, but it's all the same idea, which is that there are four sections of the davening, and we are required to mention God's name, mention the Shema, in other words, to be accepting Ol Malchus Shemayim in all four phases of davening. What are the four phases? The first phase is Birchas HaShachar. Well, let me ask you, where is the Shema in Birchas HaShachar? Well, we know it is. We have it. Ashrenu shenachnu mashkim u'mamarivim erev avoker v'omrim pamayim b'chol yom Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That is the first time we mention the Shema in Birchas HaShachar. Then we have to mention Shema in Pesukei Zimra. Where is that? Right here. At the end of Az Yashir, u'besorascha kasuv lemar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So we're transitioning from Birchos HaShachar to Pesukei Dezimra, from Pesukei Dezimra to the next section, which is Birchos Kriya Shema. We say the full Shema in section number 3, but where's the fourth one? So here the Yabetz writes that we recite the Shema a fourth time at the end of Aleinu. Now, if you look in your Sidurim, you're not going to find it. I didn't find any mention of Shema at the end of Aleinu in any of my Sidurim. But there is a bit of a clue to the mentioning, the recitation of Shema after Aleinu. What's the clue? What are the psukim right before Aleinu? Right before the end of Aleinu? If we look at Aleinu, we have Kagasub b'sorasecha Hashem yimloch li'olam voed. Sounds a little bit like Az Yashir. You have the Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed. V'ne'amar, V'haya Hashem Le'melech Al Kol Ha'aretz, B'yom Ahu Yiyah Hashem Echad U'Shmo Echad. And the natural progression is Ubusarascha Kasuv Lemor, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Fascinating, wild idea, says the Yaibates, that at the end of Aleinu, we're supposed to recite the Shema. It's all part of these, mentioning it in all four phases of the davening. A beautiful, beautiful idea. Maram Shik says it. Chasam Sofer said that was the same idea as well. All four phases, we say Shema. Many people don't have the custom to say Shema. The truth is, I'm not even sure what my family custom is. I feel like my father says the Shema. I never did it. I have to double check with him by the Shema by Az Yashir, not by Aleinu. I don't know anyone who says the Shema by Aleinu. But the Shema at the end of Az Yashir, some people say it, and that's why it's in the parentheses, but I've never said it before. But if it is the German custom, I should reconsider all my tefillos from beforehand. Maybe they weren't full. But nevertheless, the Vilna Gaon argues. The Vilna Gaon writes that Ubusaras HaKasav Lemor doesn't belong here. Rather, it was borrowed. If you think about Malchios on Rosh Hashanah, we have the Ne'emar V'hayesham L'melech HaKol Ha'aretz Bayim Hu Yehashem Echad Hashem Echad Ubusaras HaKasav Lemor Shema Yisrael. It's part of the Malchios. So it says the Vilna Gaon in the Ma'aseh Rav, what happened was is that this was taken from, once they added in this last pasuk, V'hayah Hashem L'melech HaKol Ha'aretz, they added in Ubasaras HaKasav Lemor, which is a mistake. That was an error. It shouldn't have been there, and therefore we don't say it. That's what the Vilna Gaon writes. Interestingly, the Mishnah Berurah points out in a different section, in an earlier section, not in the halachas discussing Az Yashir, he writes, just takes it as an obvious, as a Devar Pasha, that we actually do recite Ubasaras HaKasav Lemor in the Az Yashir. So, I think the majority of people do not recite Hashem Yimloch Leilam Ubasaras HaKasav Lemor, probably because it's in parentheses, but that seems to be the general custom is to omit it. But many had the custom, many great of our Gedolim, Gedoli Acharonim, had the custom to say it. Okay, a couple more pieces to think about as we're going through the Az Yashir. There's so much to chew on, so I hope that I'm not going too fast. There is a custom we know to stand for Az Yashir. Why are we standing for Shir HaSayam? Well, the first thing we could say is we started standing at Vayivarech David. The reason why we stood for Vayivarech David, we had the discussion last week, is it connected to Bikurim? Is it connected to Tzedakah? So we started standing. So once we're standing, we'll just stand until the end, since they were all added on according to the idea that Nehemiah and then Shir HaSayam were all added as one unit. It makes sense to stand for the entire time. That's one way of looking at it. I saw in Rabbi Monk's Olam HaTfilos, he writes that there's a special inyan to stand at Az Yashir because we mention the Yad HaGadola, we mention God's great hand. When we say God's great hand for reverence, my hand is not as great as God's hand. As a point of reverence for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we need to stand in awe and thanks for the miracle that Kadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael, for Kriyas Yamsuf. I did see a different idea from Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab writes in his Siddur that we stand by Shir HaSayam because it's a form of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemaim. I'm not sure if it's because of the Shema at the end or it's a little bit earlier. All of it has Michamocha, Mikamocha, have all these connections to Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemaim without the Shema, but having the Shema together with it clearly makes it into a form of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemaim, for which we should stand in its own right. So even if you have the custom, like the Arizal, to stop, to sit, after the first half of, just after the psukim from Divrei HaYamim, and you sat for V'charos Imo HaBris from Nehemiah, you would stand again for Az Yashir. Now the last thing that I will mention, and then here we will stop, is a comment made by the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Zohar. Mr. Brewer writes as follows, that when you recite Az Yashir, you should recite it b'simcha. In fact, the Zohar says, whoever recites Shiras Hayam b'simcha and imagines himself as if he is crossing the Yamsuf, he is forgiven for all of his sins. That is the idea mentioned by the Zohar. And so how do we say it b'simcha? Well, you know, if you say something b'simcha, you should say it with happiness. The Yosef Ometz adds on, I saw this in the new Mishnah Berurah, the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah. I forgot, I had a lapse in memory for a moment. In the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, he quotes from this Yosef Ometz, I think it's Rabbi Yosef Engel, who recites that, how do you say it b'simcha? You say it b'simcha using the trup in the Chumash, because reading the Torah is a sign of reading the Torah is a sign of simcha, and therefore it's appropriate to fulfill this idea of the Zohar to say it b'simcha, to be forgiven for all your sins by saying it with the trup. And in fact, you'll notice that when it comes to the Shira Sayam, in a lot of the Sidurim, the old RCA Siddur and the new RCA Siddur, the trup is there. All the cantillation notes are there to, in order to recite it with the trup, to recite it b'simcha. And when you say the Az Yashir b'simcha, you are forgiven for all of your sins. So there's a lot in the Az Yashir, a lot that's happening. Again, to remember that the Az Yashir had where it stops, where it begins, the connection to Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, how it got here. But at the end of the day, we mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, God's four-letter name, 20 times, maybe 22 times, but really the focus should be on the great name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the 72-letter name, the 18 times that was intended to be part of the Az Yashir. And when you say it b'simcha, we recover Ol Malchus Shemayim, we'll not only will be forgiven for all our sins, but it'll make our davening that much more meaningful. So I hope that was enjoyable, hope that was insightful, and you gained a little bit from it, and that your Az Yashir will now be transformed forever. Have a good night, everyone. See you next time.